Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Giddy up.
Titans win a thriller on Monday Night Football with the Bills, 34-31. We'll have more on that game coming up in about 15 minutes. But I will say this. I do want to thank the Red Sox for taking care of this game early so we could all focus on the Titans and the Bills and the great game that we saw, like, you know, getting six in the second. I don't think Babe Schwarber's ball had hit the seats when my father-in-law, who's visiting, turned the channel over to the football game. Oh, it's deep. And that ball, yeah, it's over. We watch football now. Oh, okay, great.
Wait,
right, we're going
to
do that.
You buried the lead. You got the Detroit people to come to California?
Yeah. Pam's dad came in to visit, and a big tweet I had yesterday. I said, you know, when your family comes in, this is what happens. And I took a picture of the selected and preferred game from NFL Sunday Ticket was Bengals Lions.
They turned away from that pretty fast too, though, right?
Oh my God, dude, that game was terrible. That game was so. I mean, not like expected.
I had great hopes that the fighting Campbell's. I wanted to go back to Jim Caldwell. The fighting Campbells would actually come out and put up a threat.
This was
actually their worst effort of the year.
Of course. It was a terrible game. It was a terrible, terrible game. Now, look, we got a couple of TVs that we go back and forth on watching the games and everything. But it was just every time you go, there's like nothing going on in that game. There's like nothing going on there. It's just awful. So thankful to the Red Sox for doing this, because that was a very nice thing for them to do, to score six in the second. And then if there was any doubt, get three more in the third.
Sure.
Okay, now I really don't need to. I'm good now. I know I'm good. I can check in later and I can focus on the Bills and the Titans. And that was a great, great game.
Yeah, but Kyle Tucker then got that three spot back. And all of a sudden you open your eyes going, hey, wait a minute. Potential for some chaos. Maybe they've now just figured something out. They found the guy in the stands that they'd been looking for, and maybe it was going to open the floodgates.
See,
but it did not.
Every time you mention Kyle Tucker, I think about how, God, we could have had him for Syndergaard. We could have had him for Syndergaard when he was an underachieving prospect, and oh, maybe not. And then he busts out this year, 30-92. He had 300.
Yeah.
His WAR is like 7. I'm like, yeah, those days are gone now. We could have had him.
Yeah,
a superstar.
And I think about the backlog of cards at the grading company. And I've got a number to 5 autograph rookie card that's been sitting there for 7 months. And by the time it comes back, we'll be, I don't know, we might be in spring training, hopefully.
So a big lead for the Red Sox early. They hold on to win a 12-3, and they lead that series 2-1. And then tomorrow we get both games as game 4 of Houston and Boston, and the big game 3 between the Braves and the Dodgers, as the Dodgers absolutely have to have this, or we're talking about the Braves going to the World Series as they're up 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is about this game is that so many people in LA, like, everybody's got an opinion on why the Dodgers aren't playing well, why they're down 2-0, why. And you talk to 100 different people and you get 100 different reasons, right? It's the bullpen, it's the hit, it's all of these things, right? Everybody's, why are the Dodgers down? Why are the Dodgers down? I don't understand. There's no magic formula. Right? I get, this is mine. There's no magic formula. They're just getting beat. Atlanta is pitching a little bit better. They are hitting better in the clutch. The Dodgers aren't. Right? Even the bullpens. Dave Roberts keeps going to the bullpen. The Braves keep going to the bullpen. Their guys pitch a little bit better. The Braves are just doing it a little bit better than the Dodgers right now. Everywhere. You can't just point to one thing and go, oh, this is what they're doing. The more I watch the Dodgers, right, and especially this year, after they won it all last year, the more I think about the Dodgers like I think about Peyton Manning. Right now, during Peyton Manning's career, he's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen, probably top 5 all time. He would play just as good week 1 as he would week 8. As he would week 15, as he would in the wild card game, as he would in the AFC Championship game. He gave you that same level of eliteness, right? He was just, I'm playing my top game, whether it's week one or the AFC title game, right? And that's kind of what the Dodgers do. The Dodgers play at a high level from game one through game 162 and into the playoffs. And I'm not saying this means they're burned out, but why was Peyton Manning's record in the playoffs just okay? Like, why did he not win more Super Bowls? Why did he have... is because Peyton Manning didn't have that extra gear because he was always in that extra gear, right? The Dodgers have always been in that extra gear. They always are, right? A 3-0 game in the ninth inning at home, all right, they're going to go out 1-2-3. Nope, they're going to treat that game like it's the bottom of the ninth inning of the NLCS game three, and they get three in the ninth, and they win in a walk-off. This is how the Dodgers do it. When you get to the playoffs, all the other teams have that next gear. And that can be anything from I watch more film to I feel more sense of urgency, whatever. I'm taking better at-bats. I'm thinking a little bit more in my at-bats. Whatever it is, in the playoffs, teams that wind up winning get hot because they all understand the stakes and they all can amp up their play a little bit. Most teams do that. Most teams play great at one level during the season. You get to the playoffs and then they have another level they get to. So the Dodgers during the season, and most times they're playing teams that, hey, we're playing at a higher level, we're better than most other teams. But then when you get to the point in the season where, hey, things are kind of close, you have the Braves now, who without Ronald Acuña somehow have found a way to make it into the NLCS, right? Playing in a craptastic division and not playing well, they've gotten hot at the right time. You know, Austin Riley, the Dodgers never want to see him bat again, all right? Because of how he keeps coming through in the clutch. Does this mean Austin Riley suddenly is a great? No, it means Austin Riley's a guy that raises his level of game in the playoffs. He has done that. None of the Dodgers can do that because they play at that same level. So it's a bit difficult when you're playing a team that has gotten to this point, said, okay, now you thought you had one side for us. Now we really got something for you. And like I said, it manifests itself in many different ways, from either film work, all those things it does. And this is why the Dodgers in the playoffs don't have more World Series, don't have more World Series titles. Yes, you could talk about the Astros and the Red Sox and knowing the signs and all that, and that's fair. But you're talking about well over a decade now, the Dodgers winning the NL West and getting into the playoffs. You got to think a couple of more times they would have gone to the World Series. They would have gotten another one considering the talent level they have, but they just don't have it. And they don't have it because look at the teams that they've beaten that you can say, boy, this Cardinals team won 85 games in the regular season. But in the playoffs, they take care of them in six. Wow. This Braves team won 18 fewer games than the Dodgers in the regular season. And now here they are up 2-0 and they look like a team of destiny. But those teams, when they can amp up how well they play, it's a really big deal.
Well, and it comes back to, as we discussed, the World Series run last year. You had heroes step up at every point. Not every year is that going to be the case either, right? Sometimes the law of averages hits you. This year, you got a bunch of guys that aren't hitting. You got a couple of injuries, right? Losing Muncy, that comes back to bite you because that's a huge hole in your lineup. And then here in Los Angeles, I'm sure anybody caught any bit of television, radio, or newsprint of the management of everything going back to Game 5 with Knebel starting that game against the Giants. Finishes a 2-1 victory and succeed and proceed, right? All hands on deck. But how does that inform and set up things going forward? So you have that to ponder as well. But in terms of the ramped up and every game playing like it's Super Bowl Sunday, I'm okay with that. I don't know that you can coach like that, but I would hope you're playing like that because you don't know when the last game you're on the field is. In a given season?
It's not that you're taking it so that it's not like Rex Ryan. I'm not saying it's like Rex Ryan, like, hey, every game is a Super
Bowl.
That,
yeah.
But it's just we play at a high level because this is just how we're wired. And that's something you can't teach and you can't.
Right,
and it's
no,
great.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's more what it is than just, oh, we're treating everything this big, and so mentally we can't take the swings of it. It's that we have this level we play at. We don't have another level because this great level is our level.
But that's the point, is that should then translate and should give you a decided advantage as you go forward. Why? Because it's just another game. So for Peyton Manning, look, they always took week 17 off. He'd do the Queen's wave and leave, and here comes Jim Sorgi. And then whatever momentum that had been sustained to get them their playoff seeding, you'd get into the playoffs and be like, well, maybe not that, and you were playing a weak division for the most part, which meant that perhaps you were a little beefed up on your schedule, and then you start playing better teams. Kind of like, you know, my first introduction to bowl games with Northwestern, where the speed of the team you were now facing in a bowl game was far different, and the offenses you were facing, you know, look at USC and Keyshawn Johnson, or the aforementioned Peyton Manning and Peerless Bryce when they went up and down the field continually in the Citrus Bowl. What a great time that was, though. Fun time, my first exposure to Disney World. It was great, except I kept running into people I knew, so I realized it was maybe the happiest place on Earth, but not very large at the time where I was. Hey, Harmon! Wait, what? You keep running into people you know. That's great. It's a small world after all. But for Peyton Manning and company, as we saw with the Colts, you got good runs, and then you're playing other good teams. Because really, that's it. No matter how good you are, you're talking about a very short span, right? You know, normally, to be statistically relevant, right? And make say that 15 times really fast. Statistically relevant. Oh, thanks, pal. Mm-hmm.
Usually say three times fast. 15, no, I'm going to bet you can.
I'm just going to smile and move on and be the bigger man here. but the fact is that normally we're talking you got to have a 30 sample size, which means over the course of a season, you're a better team. You are going to win more than your fair share of games, right? You know, your roster 1 through 25, now through 26, is going to beat most teams. In a five-game or seven-game series, all it takes is one thing to throw everything off kilter, one pitching decision and managerial decision at the plate, the double switches, or using Julio Urias in relief, which I know has been vexing people since last night. So, I mean, you know, all of those things come into play, and in a short series, it's the great equalizer because you don't have that long range to look at to where you can just beat people down.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Time to drink some velvet.
Take off your uniform.
Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm going to eat that ass up.
Before we get to the big takeaway from Monday Night Football, let me give you a big, hot, steaming hot take on Aaron Rodgers. You ready, Mike Harmon?
Sure.
All right. But wow, listen, me. This is going to be something that you're going to love because it takes away from the fact that the Bears lost on the field to the Packers yesterday. It's going to take away from that a little bit.
You know, it doesn't sting as much as you like to think it is.
Okay.
That it does, you know, you hold out hope for a victory, but I'm a realist. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, people that have, you've known me on the radio here with you for 8 years, I'm a pragmatist.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
If I just wanted to say wild ass things for the hell of it, I'd be, you know, running a network somewhere at this point. I'd have all sorts of minions underneath me, but I don't. So, you know, the Bears losing to the Packers, it's been my entire life, going back to Brett Favre. I was a teenager back when, you know, there actually was some fight in those games.
All right, well, good. Well, I'm glad you feel that way, buddy, because, yes, yesterday we did watch the Bears lose again to the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers, in a moment that has gone viral and that everybody is talking about, wanted to make sure people actually knew who the owner of the team was. After Aaron Rodgers goes in for a touchdown that basically clinches the game against the Bears, he had some fun with some fans who may have questioned who the owner of the Bears was.
It's Rodgers running for the score.
I still own you, screaming at the fans. I still own you.
Well, 21-5, so yeah.
Yeah? Now, why would he do that? Aaron, tell everybody, why did you scream that out in the fans when you did? Why?
Sometimes you black out on the field. in a good way. I definitely blacked out. I looked up in the stands, and in the front row, all I saw was a woman giving me the double bird. So I'm not sure exactly what came out of my mouth next.
Yeah,
I wish you weren't such a liar. What is that, a laugh track from the 70s?
Well, yeah. That's probably
you're
what
a funny guy, Aaron. You're a funny guy.
You know, I see that commercial you do with the guy with Jake from State Farm when you're playing the TV host. It's kind of funny. If he wasn't leaving the Packers after this season, he would not have done that. All right, now think about this for a second. Aaron Rodgers has played his whole career in Green Bay, and his desire to leave the team was the topic of the offseason. Didn't happen. Renegotiated his deal. They have an agreement that if he wants to be traded, they will trade him in the offseason. If Aaron Rodgers knew he was coming back to Green Bay for the next 3, 4, 5 years and had to play in Chicago once a year, he's not doing that. He's not yelling, "I still own you," because he's not dealing with the ramifications of it on the field, which could manifest itself in some sacks that maybe are borderline or some hits that are maybe borderline. He's not going to do that. He's not going to put a target on his back if he's got to come back and play there a few more times. But the fact that he says that, and then after the game, "Oh, a woman gave me the double bird." Really? Like, that's the worst thing that happened? Really? That's the worst? I've never seen that in all my years of playing football. A woman gives me the double bird. I think you've seen and get worse things on a daily basis just going out and being who you are. He's not doing that if he's coming back to Green Bay. Now, wherever he goes, he may get to play in Chicago again, but this has been his big rival for all of his football life. The Lions don't count because the Lions, the Vikings, it's just different. Packers and Bears, one of the biggest rivalries in the NFL, going on like 175 years now. So if this is his last game, yeah, I want to commemorate this. I want to have a little bit of fun. I want to put my exclamation point on my record here, 21-5, because I'm not going to play here again, because we're not coming back for a playoff game because you guys stink and, you know, we have bigger dreams. So the next time I come back here, it will be as a member of the Broncos or the Dolphins or somewhere else, and it's going to be different, and who knows if I ever actually play here again. So I want to make sure this last time I get this out there. All of that makes sense, because if he wasn't going to leave, whatever, he's not going to do something like that and put himself out there and potentially have himself wind up getting a little bit extra no matter what he plays in Soldier Field the rest of the way. So this, of anything, should tell you that he knows he's leaving and this was his goodbye to Soldier Field.
Yeah, I disagree. I think as Aaron Rodgers trying to remind people, don't forget about me. You talked about me all off season. And you like when I say snarky little things and I curse with Pat McAfee. But otherwise, you're really not talking about me and how it's me, Aaron, and Devontae. We're a three-man, you know, a six-man tag team, you know, champion of the world. You know, the rest of our roster is offensive line. Maybe Bakhtiari comes back here soon. Great. Our defense, we don't have pass rushers and all our secondary is hurt. But hey, we won. You know why? Because of me. And I think that's really all this is. Remember, he owns the Bears. And if he doesn't really say a whole lot, it's the 85th story coming out of week 6 of the National Football League. It's a big deal in Chicago. It's a big deal in Green Bay. But he doesn't go back at this fan. It's a blip on the radar. "Hey, the Packers beat the Bears again." Look, the Bears stink. How many quarterbacks have played against you while you've been there, Aaron? Can you name them? I mean, that's what we got in terms of press availabilities before week 6's matchup. So I think that's the larger thing. The Packers still have his rights. So at the end of the season, he can say, "I want to trade," and they can just laugh at him like they did this offseason. And
no,
maybe he goes on a sojourn again.
No, they changed. No, they had the new agreement, right? There's an out after this year.
There's not. It is in theory. He goes in and says, "You know, I'm not happy. I'd really like to be traded." They could still say, "Beat it." They don't have to acquiesce to that. What's the quantity of happiness
that's part of the whole thing. What he renegotiated was that you will trade me if I want out. That was a big deal. It was like the first thing. Hey, there's no more new money. They're getting
that's
out
all
of money
fine and good.
Are
all deals, you know, once they're signed? Because I don't know that you could put in "he's not happy" and ask for a trade in your contract. Maybe
what
you
he
can.
Asked for. That's what he asked for.
No, but that's a handshake agreement kind of thing.
That's
and then
what
maybe at the end of the year, they still say, "Beat it." I don't think they're contractually obligated to acquiesce to such.
You think Aaron Rodgers didn't have that done in writing?
I'd love to see it.
In writing somewhere?
I don't think it is.
You think it's not? You think it's just, oh, yeah, I trust you? You think now he trusts Gutekunst suddenly now? Oh, yeah, you'll trade me. Oh, yeah, sure, we'll trade you. Okay, you don't think that's in writing somewhere? I'm pretty sure that's in writing somewhere. I don't think he went through the whole offseason with that and didn't have that put in writing. I don't think he went anywhere where,
he's under contract to them. This. As best I can I know about contracts, and I don't claim to be the be-all, the end-all of it without question. But my understanding from the way it reads is that there's nothing in writing that says they have to do that. Just because he goes in and says, pretty please, will you trade me somewhere else? Now, he could become a pain in the ass like he was this offseason, and they can decide, whether to acquiesce and actually deal him or not. That's certainly in their purview. But they could probably, just as soon say, forget about this. Or they can go the other route, which is, all right, let's maximize what's left for the 2-3. I don't know how. Does he plan on playing as long as Brady? And they see who flinches first? I don't know. But you could go out and get a haul maybe like the Lions did for Matthew Stafford. Now you've got Jared Goff, but you got two first-round picks and a third-rounder. And maybe that's something that you're looking for. Just maximize it and be done with it. And finally turn the page. But if he's still playing well and you're still dominating that division, why would you walk away from it?
It's
not his choice, though.
Yes, he can. He doesn't have to play there if he doesn't want to.
Right. He can retire. He can go walk the earth. He can go do it, be a tag team guy with McAfee then.
He can just walk
out. Or do more commercials playing guitar.
I'm waiting for you to trade me. I'm waiting for you to trade me.
He can do that.
It's going to happen.
And they can tell him to go pound sand.
Yeah, that's not how that's going to go. Not after this year with everything. Look, that was part of the agreement. Aaron Rodgers is not going to go through a whole thing and just go, yes, and you promised to do it. Yes, I'll do it. Great. Now I got that in my back pocket. There's no way. There's no way. Now, I don't think there's anything that's tied to money of it. I'm not saying I think that, it's tied to this. If you decide to be traded, then there's a trade kicker in here. I don't think it's money. I think it's just a strict thing. Hey, if I want out, you will trade me. And that's there somewhere in what he's asked for by itself as a, hey, this is my emergency thing. He didn't go all season with, I don't want to play. I don't want that.
Yeah, but he never actually said it either.
Just to say, okay, then why did he go through it then?
He had all his minions.
Then why did he go through anything? He didn't get extra money. It's not like he sold out.
They restructured it. They changed what the dead cap would be going through those years. But right now, his first available unrestricted free agency isn't for another couple of years.
Right, but there's an out after this year. There's an out after this year that if he wants, he's going to be able to exercise. He's going to be able to do it. They don't owe him any more money. They don't owe him any more money. They don't have to owe him any more money. So that's a big thing, right? Why would he go through this whole thing then if he didn't get more money at the end? If he didn't get security? If he didn't get power? If he didn't get any of those? He didn't. So he's going to go. He's going to go when he can. And this should tell you, it's goodbye to Soldier Field. You should be happy, buddy. You should be happy that he's not going to be there to torment you and go 21-5 anymore.
I think you're reading way too much into it. I think it's a guy that wanted some more attention.
Okay.
And he got it from you.
Okay. All right. We'll see. I'm going to put a pin in this.
I love the smug reaction to it, too, though.
I'm going to put a pin in that. We'll see.
All right. Go find me the terms of the deal, will you?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So tonight, we watch the Bills fall to the Titans in Monday Night Football 34-31. And look, it was great theater. It was great to see the Bills go for it on fourth down and half yard from inside the Titans' 5-yard line. Josh Allen slips and falls, and the Titans are able to stop him and hold on to win the game. But one of the things coming out of this game is that it was yet another in a long line of great performances by Derrick Henry. All right, tonight we watch Henry. He goes for that 70-yard touchdown in the first half, and you go, oh, my goodness, no one even wants to get near him. He makes it look so easy because he's 6'9". That's what it is for Derrick Henry. Tonight he goes for 143 yards and three touchdowns. In his last five games, Derrick Henry has rushed for 722 yards and 10 touchdowns. He's at 783 and 10 scores for the season. It's nice that all these quarterbacks are at the top of the list. Look, Dak Prescott's playing great, and certainly, as I told you, he's carving out his niche. Hey, vote for me for MVP. This is great. Brady is having a great year. Lamar Jackson is now everybody's MVP again after he was someone that people didn't like. It doesn't make sense. But what Derrick Henry is doing at running back cuts through the clutter and separates him from what all the other guys are doing at quarterback, all right? 182, 113, 157, 130, 143, right? He's averaging 4.5 yards a carry all season. If you take out that first game against Arizona, he's up well over 5 yards per carry, right? If he just has the next 6 weeks like he had the first 6 weeks, he's going to hit game 12 with over 1,500 yards rushing and 20 touchdowns. This means he's going to make a run at the all-time rushing record, and there's going to be a great big debate. He's got to break it in week 16 if he's going to really have the record, because if he breaks it in 17, it doesn't count, and that'll be great theater coming up in late December. But what he's done so far, no other running back does anything like this. And for a quarterback, so yeah, okay, we've seen quarterbacks have great years, be able to do this, but to be able to affect the game in a bygone era for running backs, the way Derrick Henry does, when basically every other team treats their running game like it's a necessary evil. We want to throw the football, but we know we got to run it a bit, so okay, we got a couple of guys, we're not real thrilled about it, but we'll give it to them. Derrick Henry is the last of a breed of bell cow backs, and to do what he's done, he's going to get over 2,000 yards rushing again. Right now, through 6 weeks, what he's done, the eye-popping stats, the team is 4-2. Yeah, I got to put Derrick Henry at the top of my through 6 weeks MVP list overall the quarterback so far.
Well, we got to find some chaos, and when you do something exceptionally and you are an outlier, which he is, because, I mean, one, injury purposes, he's one of the few guys that hasn't missed a game or hasn't truly been limited at this point. The season low was that 17 for 58 effort when they got blown out by the Cardinals. Now they're 4-2, and, well, back in the mix. But he's on pace to carry the ball 459 times.
That's a big year. That's a lot of carries.
That's a bit problematic, right?
That's a lot of carries.
378 last year, 303 the year before, obviously adding for the extra game. That's just...
Yeah, but you know...
It just leaves me unnerved, right?
I hear you.
And all
that.
Thoughts and prayers, look, to pause for a second, to Taylor Luan, who left on the cart, had the thumbs up as he left, but waiting report as to his status, you know, as he gets his medical attention. But, I mean, some very tense and anxious moments therein. You know, a big part of that offensive line, you know, for him, and success for over a long haul as well.
Yeah, but I hear you on the workload, right? And certainly for the future, the workload you question. But his first 3 years in the league, he didn't carry the ball a lot, right? Like he was 110, 175, 215.
Sure.
Like he did not carry the football a lot. So those early years, he'll have a little bit more tread on his tires. Now, look, he is going into his third straight year of over 300 carries, but it's not like he's got 6 years of 300 carries. So, you know, maybe he'll have a little bit more. Look, the guy's a bigger time. He's 30. Is he still going to be the same guy?
I know, he hit 21.8 miles per hour.
It's pretty good. It's pretty
at his peak during this one. Remember, he also had that 2015 season at Alabama where he had 395 carries.
Yeah, but those are college carries. They didn't count. You know, I don't know, count. No, but look, his first 3 years in the NFL, he didn't have a lot of wear and tear, which definitely helps. Look, nothing's going to stop him at the – well, look, a bigger back at the age of 30, he's not going to be that guy anymore, right? So he's got – 2 or 3 more years left of being this good. You know, I don't see there being a problem this year. Could all the carries, you know, take their toll in a couple of years? Yeah, potentially they could. But this year, I mean, look, he's already carrying, you know, he's carrying the ball 20, 25 times a game, and this is kind of what he's done. 303, 378, you know, ran for 2,000 last year. I don't see that being a big deal for him this year. He's shown that I can handle that. Can he handle another 100 carries? I don't know about that, but could he handle 400 rushing attempts? Yeah, he had 378 last year. He could do that this year.
Well, I do know that for the rest of this week, we will now start talking about 17-game records more in earnest because of what Derrick Henry did tonight, right? Not that it wasn't already on the table, and certainly those that are guardians of the headline stats, which in football, you know, they're not the same. You don't remember all the, you know, single season leaders. Maybe you do for your favorite team, but in terms of league wide and touchdown passes, passing yards, like when Tom Brady did it a couple weeks ago, did anybody really pause and go, yeah, I knew that number? No, you didn't. They told you he's going to pass Drew Brees, and Drew Brees is going to be there to see it. Oh, okay. And then you shrugged and you moved on. So just an incredible run, though, thus far, no pun intended, from Derrick Henry. That all started when they had 24 yards of total offense, and then he ripped off a 76-yard touchdown run.
I'll tell you, that was the real jump start of the game for the Titans, boy. I'll tell you what. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Hey, coming up next, we'll look into the Bills' decision to go for the touchdown instead of the field goal in overtime. There was something I loved about it and something I really didn't. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Week 6 in the NFL is complete. The Titans hold on to beat the Bills 34-31 on Monday Night Football as the Bills decide to eschew a game-tying field goal in overtime, going for it on 4.5 yards inside the 5-yard line with less than 20 seconds left to go. The Bills make a gutsy call to win the game. Unfortunately for Buffalo, this is how it turned out.
And tried to sneak. He got nothing, or so it appeared.
He got it! They got it! They did it! They did it! Not yes! Not yes! Hell yes!
Mike Keith, the Titans Radio Network. Not yes. Not yes. Hell yes. Very excited. The Titans are able to stop the Bills on 4.5 yards. I love the call of doing this. It's great. I always have gutsy, and the Bills thought we can win the game here in regulation, but I hated the play call. Absolutely hated. Here's Josh Allen, and he's going to try to sneak it for the first down, right? They'd run Josh Allen off tackle early in the game on a big 3rd and 1. He got stuffed, right? They ran the quarterback sneak a couple of plays before he got stuffed. You're inside the 5-yard line. The Titans have to defend this 4th down play where they got to defend the first down and they have to defend the end zone because there's 18 seconds left and you're talking about a play that just needs to go 3 yards and you're in the end zone. You have to defend a lot. What's the one thing that the Titans can gear up to stop? The quarterback sneak, because the Bills love to do it, and that's the one thing we know. We're not going to let you do it that way. You got to do it some other way. The Bills kind of played into the Titans' hands with that, with, okay, of all the things we got to defend, here's the only thing we really can sell out to stop, and they did it, and that's exactly the same play the Bills ran. You could have run something where Josh Allen rolls out and he can run it or he can throw it, and then you put pressure on the Titans' defense, try to figure that out, but instead he decided, okay, we're going to sneak it. And you could tell the way Josh Allen was lined up behind center, he was going to try to sneak it. With the foot back, I'm going to get it and try to go. Now, the bad news for him is that he couldn't get purchase, he slipped twice trying to go forward, and that's why he went down. Yes, the Titans got a good push, but he slipped or he would have gotten the first down. I love the gutsiness of it. I love doing it. I love showing your confidence in the offense. We're going to go win this. If we don't, we're moving on to our next game. We got an easy schedule coming up. But that play call was just something that helped the Titans more than it was, hey, we're going to do something simple to get this first down. You kind of need to do a little bit more on the goal line. And when the Titans worried about so many other things, okay, this one simple thing, that's what you're going to do, that's what we're going to gear up to try to stop.
I got to dig the use of the term purchase, just, you know, for folks, like, if that purchase didn't hit the ear right. It is something that to get a firm hold on something is one of the definitions. Certainly purchasing, you know, you exchange, you know, for money or goods or barter town, the equivalent to buy, to acquire by effort or earn, to pull or haul by means of a mechanical device such as a winch, etc. Application of power, as in moving something. So, yeah, a very, very good use of a term that I don't know that folks would have said that. Get good footing instead of get purchase. So we've all learned something tonight here on Fox Sports Radio. We also learned that we watched defensive line absolutely crumple the Bills' offensive line on that play as well. So bad footing for Josh Allen, that hesitation. But I think my man on the defensive line, if we really wanted to get technical about it, and we got a sideline camera look down, he might have moved and gotten into the neutral zone early. But not one to cast dispersions. But look, he made the play, and he disrupted things and caused it to go awry. But when we look at Josh Allen, sure, you want to get him on the move and maybe create some space. You've got multiple tight ends on the field and a lot of guys that are really good sit-down receivers. When you look at Beasley, Sanders, etc., obviously Stephon Diggs. But I like the call. The execution wasn't there, right? I got to think that my 6'5 and a half, 6'6 guy, whatever you want to do, and his wingspan, he's going to be able, if it's all clean, to get me those inches. They're all around. And in this case, there was the difference between winning and losing, living and dying. But for the Bills, it's a game. It's a blip. If you're looking long term, yes, it's that kick in the ass because you only get one team with the bye as the playoff structure is set. But in the moment, it's you believe that your offense, your high-powered, potent offense could get you those inches to give you a chance to just finish off the game in regulation. So I can't quibble with that.
No, if they hadn't run the sneak a couple of times and it hadn't been stopped, I would have said, okay, I'm all right.
Third time's the charm. The stats say it. The stats say it, damn it. The analytics would say it. I got to go for it.
You think that was a call down to Sean McDermott? What do you think?
Well, third time's got to work, right?
You're right. Great call.
Statistically,
let's do it.
Yeah, statistically, this should have already worked once. So out of the couple of times we've done it, it has to.
I don't see anything that could go wrong now. Oh, this is going to be great for us. Look, the Bills clearly learned a little bit of a lesson here that teams gear up to stop Josh Allen. Look, you still, not that you had to give the ball to Zach Moss, because look, do I want to give the ball to Zach Moss? No. Him and Devin Singletary are both, they're Jags. They're just guys. Their rushing attack is just okay. But you have a tight end in Dawson Knox who has turned into a huge weapon. I think he's the third rated tight end so far this season in the National Football League. You have one of the top five wide receivers in Stephon Diggs. You have Cole Beasley who has great hands. You could have run some kind of play where you really put pressure on the Titans defense by getting Josh Allen outside, being able to run, being able to helicopter into the end zone, or throwing the football to one of those guys. That was the play. When you line up Josh Allen with Zach Moss in back of it, it's like, okay, here it's going to be. We're gonna run that play. 1 foot already back. I know we're going to run this. He's going to go forward. That helps. That's why I didn't like the call. It was too much. This is what we're going to do. And I get in the middle of the field, if you want to play, hey, mano a mano, we're against you. I get it. This is the end of the game. Something's got to be different. It's got to be done.
I like the bold nature of things. So chaos after 6 weeks, and we have to flip the page very quickly because T-shirts, Cleveland Browns are playing in just a couple of days.
Twitter and How About a Fresca, Mike and Swollen Dome. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Maller. This is Fox.